5, 6.
We are the Gander Dancers, and Gandy is a name that was derived from the manufacturer of the tools. The dancing end came to the name because of the more or less emotions and the rhythmic actions that the men did while they were performing their work. There are various songs that be sung, and these songs were sung by what they call the caller. The caller was the coordinator of the men. In the era prior to the machine age, all work was done by physical force. And you had to coordinate the strength and the efforts of the men in order to do the work. Everything you see here has tremendous weight to it. An example of that is this rail here. It's what we call a 100-pound rail. That means that it's 100 pounds to every 3 feet. And this rail here is about 37 feet long. Now, 8 men could move this rail. And if you had 10, you could take it back over your head this way, and you could pitch it into a railroad car, where you could see the tremendous strength that it was called upon. Now, to coordinate that effort, that caller had to call songs that would excite the men. He was what you might call a psychologist and a psychiatrist and a sociologist all wrapped into one. He had to know the mood of the men, the temperament of the men, and he had to know if they had problems, whether they were domestic problems or home problems or what have you. And usually in the mornings, before you went to work, he would go around and greet the men and to find out just what is it. Do you have any problems? Because he had to fit that man, into that crew. I more or less characterize him as a symphony director. See, in a symphony orchestra, you have various instruments. And if they all began to play at a certain time and they were not coordinated, well, it would be noise that you would hear. But when he organized, when the conductor organized those instruments, it becomes music. It's the same thing in performing this work. And that's why the caller had to call. Each bar here that we will use is made more than likely of a different chemistry. The different chemistries in this bar brings out a different note. So if you can't just throw these bars up here, you arrange them so they give out that tone. They give out music instead of noise. So when we get ready to use the bars, we will do that. Now, starting on this end, this is what is called a tapping shovel or a track shovel. This is where you put your grout underneath the cross ties. That is a camping pick there, with the parts look like a garden fork. That's for a large rock as this sort. This is limestone rock. It's large rock. This is a spike maul. Spike maul weighs 9 pounds. And to see the rapidity in which the man twirls the spike maul and the accuracy that he throws the spike maul, it calls for hand and eye coordination, because he's not looking at the hammer. He's looking at what he's going to hit. The same as the baseball player has to have that hand and eye coordination. This is what is known as a track jack. Now these little jacks just come on the scene, I'd say about the last 25 years. This jack here weighs approximately 125 pounds, and that's an aluminum jack. Now when we started on the railroad, they had steel jacks that weighed 150 to 175 pounds. And you didn't want to be the jack boy. See, because you had to carry two of those, one in each hand. And the men would work at such a pace that they were constantly called. The foreman would be constantly called from jack ahead. So they kept you running back and forth, bringing those two jacks. So you earn your dinner. This is a pair of two-man tie tongs. Each one of these ties weigh approximately from 350 pounds to 750 pounds. It's a two-man task, and I have seen one man carry one of these tires. But you can use a four-man crew, and you pull that tie, and it will go out 15, 20 yards. Those are tie plates. That's what they call a double shoulder tie plate. The rail sits in between it. It has a shoulder on both sides. That's to keep the rail from moving inside the plate. These are the lining bars or jack bars. And this is where what we use when you do the track lining. That's a track wrench over there. And to take the bolts off, bolt the joints. Here is a claw bar or a spike puller. That bar weighs approximately 85 pounds to 100 pounds. There's some light ones and some heavier ones. But that's for pulling spikes. This is your most critical, you might say, instrument here. This is the level board. Also, this is where you use a great deal of mathematics, trigonometry, algebra, and chemistry in order to regulate the curves. Understanding that only thing keeps the train on the track is the gauge of the rail, which in this country, in Canada, Mexico, what we call standard gauge, is 56 and a half inches. The French railroads, the Japanese, the German, or Yugoslavian, English railroads are 60-inch gauge. So that makes them be a bit, about 4.5 inches wider. This is what they call a pair of rail tongs, or rail guards. This is where you put 4 to 6 men on the end of the rail. On one end, 4 to 6 men on the other. And you move it just like a matchstick. It calls for tremendous agility, and it calls for tremendous strength. And I liken it unto Professor Courtier at Paul A&M, who said some years ago, when they asked him how did he select his ball players, his football players, he said, "I look for that kid who is agile, mobile, and hostile." Well, in order to work on the railroads, you had to have those same three qualities. You had to have the agility to move about, and you had to have the mobility to move instantaneously. There's no time to think, but the moment the situation arises, you must be moving all at the same time. And this is where the caller coordinates. And you had to listen to that call, because those men were going to move that rail.
Okay.
Being hostile, that was the only way that you could stay there. You had to be hostile, because the men did not take any pity on anyone. When I went to the railroad, I was 17 years old. I graduated from high school Friday night, and I went to the railroad on Monday morning. And they hired 10 men every morning. By 10 o'clock, maybe two of those were there. By 12 o'clock, Most time, none of those were there. And they didn't tell you that they were quitting. They just tell you, I'm going down here. I'm going to get a drink of water. And you didn't see them anymore. So only the pure in heart could stay there. I am the baby of this group. I'm 65 years old. I spent 35 years and 3 months on the railroad. I've been retired 11 and a half years. I gained a college education while working on the railroad. I progressed through track work into railroad brakeman. In the last 17 years, I spent supervising and general supervising the railroads. But that was all because of a woman. Women are the driving force behind a man. A man, you might not like when I tell you some of these other things. But a woman guides a man. A man goes to work because of a woman. Yeah, you're nobody. And it was my mother who said that I don't care what you do, go to work on the railroad because your daddy sent you. But you're going to go to school also. So I worked on the railroad in the evenings and at night. And I had to go to school during the day. And I often tell this about when I was in 11th grade before I graduated from high school. I made the honor roll. And I was proud. And I had all these ribbons. And we sat at the dinner table. There's 18 of us. 9 boys and 9 girls. And the report card passed around the dinner table, and my father complimented me and paid me accolades and said, look, boy, I said, boy, you did real well. I'm proud of you. We had an arrangement at the dinner table. The boy sat on one side and the girl sat on the other side. The oldest girl sat next to her father, and the oldest boy sat next to his mother. I'm the oldest boy. And when the report card got to my mother gave me what they call then a backhand lick. Bam! And she knocked me out into the kitchen floor. And you know, being proud, I made it on the road, and I thought I had accomplished, I've achieved something here. And you slapping me out on the kitchen floor? Why? But you didn't ask your parents why back in those days. And I said, my dear, I said, how come you hit me like that? She said, boy, you up there at school acting a fool. She said, you might not can't learn, but you can go there and you can keep your mouth closed and obey those teachers. I had a D in conduct. That was the only thing that she saw on that report card. I never got another D and nothing else. Hey, I don't want a D. So, but that was the kind of discipline. That's why I said it was a driving force behind a man. She didn't allow your father to go to work. Look in any kind of way. He had to have his overalls starched and ironed. His shirt had to be starched and ironed. But she said that was an impression, or the people would look at her. Say, you allowed your man to go out that way. So he went immaculate. Now, this is the senior citizen of this group. Meaning, he said he's 85 years old. Sometimes when he goes talking, I think he's 95 or close to 100. But this is our senior citizen. And the other fellas in here range between 66 and 85. This brown here, and they're deacons. See, that's when I stand apart from them, because some of them deacons in the church. Now I don't want the good Lord to hit that damn and hit me. But Brown here, I been learned about 2 years ago, is sort of a poet. And I had been knowing him for near 30 years, but I didn't know that he was a poet. So he's gonna demonstrate a little bit of his poetry later on. Well, Allen here is a deacon and all, and so you have to be careful what you say around him. I'm rare of men supposed to be raunchy and, you know, some kind of way, some thuggish-like. But I found that the character of railroad men has a deep morality about them, and there's some things they just can't say, some things that they can't do. Now, except that when they're in the cut, and when they're in the cut away from school children or kids or from around women, a sailor can't speak that kind of same kind of language. But when a woman appears or they get in the sight of a home or where a child met, they take on a different personality, a different language. So they tone themselves down. Now, that caller had to keep a sharp eye out for that. And he called the men's attention to that through the song. We have a little open number that we're going to sing. Now, Charlie here, first worked on the bridge gang and did all kind of good talk. So we had to keep him sort of on the quiet side, you know. But we're going to sing a little opening number here that we usually sing, and that sort of introduce personnel to you.
Always when we start, we've been saying in the evening, start in the evening. But now it ain't 12 o'clock yet. We're going to say this morning. And I want all of my boys to know this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want them to say no evening, because it's morning yet. Good morning, everybody.
How do you do?
Good morning, everybody.
We so very glad to see you.
Oh,
how do you do?
My name is John Millen.
How do you do?
My name is John Millen.
How do you do?
I'm so very glad to see you. Oh, how do you do? My name is Charlie Vessel.
Oh, how do you do?
My name is Charlie Vessel.
Oh, how do you do? I'm so very glad to see you.
Oh, how do you do?
My name is Allen Jones.
Oh, how do you do?
My name is Allen Jones.
Oh, how do you do? We so very glad.
June.
Oh, how do you do? We so very see you. Oh, oh, how do you do?
We are the Yenny Dance.
Oh, how do you do?
We are the Yenny Dance.
Oh, oh, how do you do? We so very glad to see you. Oh, oh, how do you do?
I think that kind of got the cobwebs out of the throat a little bit. I noticed last night they sort of went to bed early and they woke up early. And you know, I never was allowed to sleep past 5 o'clock. Because, you know, back in those days, you didn't have the electric stoves and the gas stoves and all. So you get up, you had to make the fire for the mother's cook. And being that there were 9 boys of us, my mother cooked 165 biscuits every morning. And my father had a theory. He said, honey, feed them good, because they got to work. So you ate well, because you worked well. And my father often, even at that, he didn't allow us to eat before 9 o'clock. He said, if they ate before 9 o'clock, then they'd stretch out like old dogs. They'd be lazy. So you give them the mule, 6 ears of corn. But you feed the boys 12 years, because they have got to work. So I've been working all of my life, and I'm still working. I still move around. We're gonna now demonstrate one or two calls, and these calls can go from nursery rhymes to religious songs, to sexual song. The way that you excite a man, really, you talk about a woman, you get his mind centered away from what he's doing. Because if he thought about what he's doing, then he can't get it done, because he doesn't have the strength. So you get inside of his head, and you find out. You take his mind off of what he's doing. Tap him there, let's see what sound we're gonna get. Come out, Charlie. Come up in front of you. Yeah. Look on the other side, man. You got the right one, Ev. Yeah, you got the right one. Huh? No, you got the right one here. That one's going to clear it off. Now we're going to begin with the. Since I see a small kid is a little scattered about here, we're gonna begin with a sort of a nursery rhyme call, and gradually we're gonna work through some of the others. But we're gonna, since they're the youngsters, we're gonna sort of talk to them a little bit. Now this caller, normally he wouldn't be among the crew. He would be standing off down the track piece. He had a voice like a booming voice. And every man, and he could tell you even to the way that you had your hand on this spot. And if your hand wasn't in the correct position, he'd tell you to turn it over or turn it back this way. It's a move, this week. Now it might be come a period, that's why we send it in here. Because if we got on the end, and this rail is not connected to other rails, it will swing around. And you can get inside of that man's head to the extent that he forgets where he is, and this rail will walk right on over to you. So they sort of struggle in themselves once you get inside of the head. But he talks about preachers. For some reason, I don't know. He does not trust preachers. So he got a few calls there that he talked about, Brother Pastor. And I didn't know that Brother Pastor did all these things. But Meeling, you know, has given me an understanding and a lesson. Talk about Brother Preacher that Brother Meeling.
Some folks said that a preacher won't steal. He caught three and he caught four. One had a bushel and the other had a peck. One had a root and you're tied around his neck. And boy, he was living. And boy, he was born. And boy, he was born. Oh, man. Put on the skinny and put on the lid. I'm gonna cook some shortened bread. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm late to eat. I'm late.
Brother Brown here, he sort of, you know, kind of hit the halfway point. He's not, you might say, low key, and he's not high key. He sort of hits that middle road a little bit, and being sort of soft spoken, but every once in a while you can coax him out of here and get him real excited. He can say a lot of things that you didn't know was in it.
Hey, you ready?
Yeah!
Baby, mother, Luke and John, all the prophets dead and gone. Baby, mother, Luke and John, all the prophets.
Hey. All right.
Stay cool a little bit. We're going to demonstrate a few tools. What out, gentlemen.
Can I ask you a question? Did the test of cars have anything to do with knowing whether they had proper levers? I just stepped on it.
That's the music that they hear.
Okay.
The pitch of the bars bring it together like a symphony. And if it's, out of pitch or if it's not making that music, then they don't coordinate, they don't synchronize their. I'm coming to the end down here. I know it's going to This is where we let our senior citizen catch his wind. We put the youngsters to work down here. As you might know, this car has a crack on it, and it's not up to the rail. What he's going to do is nip it up, and he has to pull the chlorine up against the rail so they can hide and fight down here. Now this is, like I said, most critical instrument. You have to know a bit of chemistry, a bit of geometry, trigonometry, calculus, algebra. No, then this particular piece here. And it's there because steel elongates itself on the heat. Now, if it elongates itself, you have to calculate what the temperature is going to be for that day, because this moves when it gets hot. And that's why they have the expansion joints. You calculate how many rails there are to the apex of the curve. That's right in the middle of the curve. Now, if this rail expands, the curve is going to move, and there's nowhere for it to go. So the curve is going to move out. This is what's called a wreck. So you go beyond that curve, and they have what is called the expansion joint. In the wintertime, steel gets cold, it contracts. So in the summertime, you go ahead and you take a piece out of the rail, and you let the sun expand the track until it joints itself. If you take out too much, you're going to leave a gap. If you take out too little, it's going to buck out. So that's where you would have to know some mathematics, little calculus, you know, little algebra. See? Because you'd have to be the one to do it, do that. So pay attention when the teacher talks. Now, on a flat surface, it's just like out there on the expressway. You've ever noticed, and like on the racetrack down Daytona, the curves, they're elevated. A railroad track has to be the same. This instrument elevates. For every 1/2 inch, you increase the speed 10 miles per hour. So you have to regulate it. If the curve is 2 miles long, the apex of the curve is at the 1 mile post, then you step it up to the apex of the curve and you step it down on the other side the same way. So that makes the train flow around the curve. You might say, left, seems as if it's level, but it's not. Now we're gonna cross level this. It is level, perfectly level. Now, how do you keep it that way? This is where the tamping shovels come in. Machines and let them go along at a faster rate. The human side is not there. But the human side here is that this man knows. He feels it. He knows where there is a weak spot right here. The tamping machine is going to tap on the level. If there's a soft spot here, the human side says that here is a soft spot in the rail, in the trackage. So he taps it a little tighter. And about a couple of months ago down on Southern Railroad, they were having a spot and they were having problems with it. And my father passed along. My father was 87 years old. And they were continuing to work on this spot. So the wisdom of the years took place. He pushed the section foreman and he told him, says, what you have is a soft spot there. Now how do you cure that soft spot? You go outside about like where that pine tree is, and you drill a hole. So you allow the moisture to drain from underneath the track. Right in this spot, you hump it, just like I hump this. And when the weight of the engine hits, bam, it flattens it. And that makes it level as corn water. So you pay attention when the old folk are talking, I do.
someone with you?
Is there one too over there?
Yeah, better catch with you. Okay. Shake, we can shake that out there.
Alright.
A little bit further. This is called the Solomon. conversation, so we kind of, that was just introduction, kind of getting started here. I want you to see, can you see this movie?
Explain to him what it means to be in the cut.
Okay, in the cut is when you're down outside of the town, outside of the residential zone, where there are no children or women involved. And that's when you get that real language. Yeah, like you said, down is dirty. It is dirty. But that's when the track is tight. The track is tight and curved. And most times if you're lining, now if you're lining so the spring of the curve, it's sort of light. So when you're bringing that curve back in, like you're bringing that curve in, the track has to go somewhere. It's got to expand on either side of the end. Okay, so now this is where the hard pulling comes on. And the man who gets the, rumble and man gets the scuttling, and you can see where they're making any progress. And this is where the down and dirty language comes about. Because you got to take his mind off of that. You got to get his mind in focus. When you lead him up to that, you get inside of his head to you know, get his mind away from what he's doing, because he takes tremendous effort here.
Oh, ain't no need of me waiting. Understand it better by and by. He's fine. Yeah. We're right up here on the top of the hill.
Thank you very much. It was just fun.
Thank you. It's great.
We're glad to be here.
My husband says he's so glad.
Oh, yeah. So you don't have enough time, really, to care about all this. You know, I want to care about all the
very, very important.
Know every bit.
Know every bit of it. That's right. You see, when you see names and, you know, when you tune your whistle and you call a woman in the next town.
I got a lot of ideas.
Hey, my mama said, don't come to your daddy coming, boy. Why? I don't know how mama knew, but the whistle told
her. You better walk the line.
Yeah, she could tell you when dad was coming home. When she was
home. Oh, yeah.
And I heard her sit on the
porch. All right, take it easy.
Daddy going down to the church. Isn't it your daddy? Talking to that woman down there. I want to know, how did she know?
Yeah.
My dad explained it to me.
Are y'all doing it one more time?
Yeah.
What time? At 4 o'clock. We gonna be here. 4 o'clock.
And then, yeah, tonight, I think over there, they're going to move the section of this track.
We're going to move it.
Over to the amphitheater. That'll be at 8 o'clock tonight.
At 8 o'clock tonight. Okay. 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. So we got
this. You're going to be the building. It's going to be the building. And their minds, you know, surrounded with abundance of natural materials there. And I was raised here right there in eyesight of Clinton. I know where the old coke ovens. And, see, long before that, when they first started making the coke ovens, see, that was a prison camp. And that's where the mines were. And these convicts worked in the mines. And when they sound a bell or horn, just like that bell is saying, women would run toward the tip of the mine. That meant that they were going to let somebody go free that day. Well, they had been in the mine so long and been in the darkness so long, women would run along and pull up the skirts and tear the petticoats off. And they'd run down in the tip of the mine. See, and that was to put that blind around that man's eyes before he could get to the light. Because if the light ever struck his eyes, he was blind. And they would carry him maybe to a house and she stay there until the darkness comes. And then they would gradually take the bandana away from his eyes and let his eyesight gradually get accustomed to that, you know, kerosene lamp. That's all they had, and they had an electrolyte. And that was in order for him not to go blind.
Do you travel around in this part of the woods, country around here, you notice it's kind of bare, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was alluding to that this morning when we was coming up the road. I said, and you look at the trees and all, and I was telling the guys that it's because of the makeup of the soil.
See, well, most of the people used to find their way around through here for all these woods and everything. It was a steam engine.
Mm-hmm.
A whistle. Okay. Because I was raised right back up over here around here, and we used to be about 5, 6, 7 miles from the railroad track. There was some sinkholes back on the river, on the same river here. And that was how you found, you know, until I got used enough, you know, I get back here with the old man, panthers and everything else, you know, running around in the daytime. It's a while, and you listen to that steam engine. Because the tracks is gone now.
Oh, yeah.
But see, run between Live Oak and Jasper, they gone.
In that era of this country, see, everything was more or less centered around the train. Even so today, that's why we can, the American ill afford to be without a train system. See, the other people have taken it and advanced it. Yeah, we have sat still. And I was telling the kids yesterday, I was angry about it. It's because we have allowed the Japanese and the Germans, the Frenchmen, to come in and go ahead of us because we became complacent. Right now, I'm on the Rapid Rail Commission for the City of Birmingham, and we are trying to put in the high-speed trackage between Birmingham and Atlanta before the Olympics come off. Okay, we're talking about, making that mileage between Birmingham and Atlanta in the same time that a plane can do it. See, so you're talking about speeds of maybe 150, 185 miles an hour. See, now the French has developed a railroad that's 300 miles an hour. I went over there I first learned about it in 72, and I went over there in 73. And at that particular time, they didn't run quite 300, they ran about 250. But it was just as smooth as if you were running on a flat track.
Well, if Disney World can put in the monorail and the people mover and stuff like that with no moving parts, how come they can't do this?
Well, what's happening in this country is...
Because that ain't it.
This, and it's too complex. See, we have more freedom of movement in this country than the people in those countries. See, and what they're doing now, well, a test section is being ran between, they're building a test section between Dallas and Houston. But you got to carry it into the countryside, see, where you don't have people and no public crossings.